I love the fact that we've got junior worship and our kids get to go up and they get to have some fun time. And I've always said that one Sunday I want to go up there and join them because we're about the same height, and so I could fit in really well and it would be kind of fun. So one announcement that I think many of you would know about, but we want to make sure that you are aware of, is next week being Thanksgiving, there is no Sunday school at all. So you can come here for like 9:30. I'll be here joining me, but there's no Sunday school happening next week. But there will be the following week after. Let me get my phone kind of hooked up here and these things. Of course, it's going to take its time because it's all set. We should be all good here. So I'm excited to be here this morning. And you know, I know I've said this like almost every Sunday you see me, but the fact is I would rather be no other place than with you, my church family. I just look forward to it on the Sundays that we're not here. We miss this body. We miss this church family. And I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited to be up front here. I'm excited to visit with you guys. We got to actually see little Madison yesterday, which was kind of a highlight of my week, to be honest. It was so much fun. But another reason why I'm excited is I love the series that we're going through, looking at the core tenets of our faith. We've called it Mere Christianity. And what it is that we're going through our Mennonite Brethren Confession of Faith. And if you don't have a copy of this, on the shelf above the table in the foyer, there is other copies of this Mennonite Brethren Confession of Faith. It's the stuff that we, as a church, it's kind of our big, actually, umbrella that we fit under. If you've been tracking with us over these last few Sundays, as we've gone through this, you've noticed that we've covered a few things. We've talked about who God is, about God's revelation. We've talked about sin and salvation. And those really are some of the actual core tenets of our faith. They set some of the foundation, some of the bedrock stuff of who we are. Well, this morning, I'm wanting to talk to us this morning about another, what I consider to be a foundational truth that we have we express as a people that are gathered. And that truth is found in something that Jesus said. The truth is found in Matthew chapter 16. We have this amazing conversation that starts off with the disciples. Jesus one day comes to them and he says to them, "So, who do people say that I am? Who do they think that I am?" And these disciples said to him, "Well, depending upon who you ask, who you talk to, some of them are say that you are Elijah. Some of them say that you are another prophet. Some of them think that you're John the Baptist." And Jesus then said, "Well, you guys have been with me. Who do you say I am?" And Peter says these amazing words, and speaking on actually behalf of the whole group, he says, "We believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now look at what Jesus' response was in verses 17 and 18 when he says, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being, but now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it." The promise that Jesus gives here is this, that he will build his church, his ecclesia, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. This says to us something very, very important for us in this day, in this age. We prayed for the church in China and the persecution that has gone on. Folks, believe this, that no matter how much persecution comes to the church, No matter how much we will become marginalized in our world, and I think that we are and that we will become that way, the church that Jesus Christ will not be defeated. Amen? It will not be defeated. It may evolve, it may change as it has over the centuries, but it will never, ever be beaten. This is the promise. This is the promise that Jesus gives to us. And one of the core foundational beliefs that we have as followers of Jesus is the church. The church. This word church that actually Jesus uses is this word ekklesia. And in the classical Greek, it refers to the assembly of the citizens of a city. But in the New Testament, it has morphed and has changed a little bit. And most often, not always, but most often, it is referenced to the assemblies of Christians. Notice that word, Christians. It's not the assembly of a Christian. It's plural. It's plural. It's plural for a reason. Because you see, folks, God has always intended the followers of Jesus to do faith in a body, to do faith in a community, as it were. In fact, the theologian Millard Erickson has said that there is no such thing as an isolated, solitary Christian life. There's no such thing as an isolated, solitary Christian life. I'm curious, have you ever known somebody who says that they're a Christian or that they're a follower of Jesus, but they don't think they should need to go to church? Some of you have run into that, right? I have. I have at various times and various places, and they give lots of reasons, but I always remember this one guy saying to me back in one of the communities that we used to live in. He says, all I need is me and Jesus and my boat. He would take off Sunday morning and he would go fishing. We had a nice lake that we lived on. It was a beautiful lake, pull out great fish out of it. I even caught a fish. I think that's the last time I went fishing, by the way. That was like 15 years ago. And so some of you are going to invite me to go fishing. I know that because I just said that. But he just felt that he wanted to follow Jesus, but he didn't need to be part of a church body. But folks, the statement doesn't add up. The statements that your friends are saying, the people that you know that say that they don't need to be part of a church, it just doesn't add up. It doesn't add up for what the scriptures say. It doesn't add up for any examples that we have in the scriptures. Because nowhere in the scriptures do we read or do we see God advocating that faith being done outside of a body. There are times that God may pull us out, as he did with Jesus, to go off to pray or some other reason for some personal time. That's fine. But nowhere in the scriptures do we read anywhere that faith is done outside of a community. So those people, as much as they say that they want to follow Jesus, they're not, in my opinion. And that may be a harsh statement, but the truth is, God has always desired us to be in a community. So that begs the question, and it's a fair question, why? What's the purpose of us gathering together as a bunch of Christians, bunch of followers of Jesus? The answer is actually quite broad, and there's numerous reasons, and some that I'll actually talk about next week. But today, I want us to look at a couple of different reasons very specifically about why God calls us to gather together as a body. The first one kind of stands on its own, and the second point, I'll kind of morph it a little bit, but you'll see where we go. So the first very reason why we gather together as a church is to simply worship God. To worship God. This is actually the example the first followers of Jesus, as we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 46. They worshiped together at the temple each day, okay? And then, what about a verse that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, the last time I spoke, from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. It says, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And then Colossians 3:16. sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. It seems to me, the scriptures seem to point out that one of the things that we do when we gather together as a church is to worship God. We can worship God kind of on our own. In fact, do any of you do that kind of in the privacy of your own life, maybe in the shower or some other time for your own personal devotional time? Do any of you kind of praise God, worship God, sing songs and all that stuff? To be honest, I think it's a wonderful practice to do. In fact, I have some old psalm books I'm going through back as part of my own personal time with God that I sing through, and it's fun and it's great. And I love it, and I think it should be part of what we do as followers of Jesus anyway, as our own personal time. But there's something that feels different when we come together as a body and as a group of people to worship God. I felt it today. I saw it today. And maybe it's because we come and we share of our hope and our belief. And maybe it's because that we're encouraged when we see the same people that we come here worshiping the same God that we do. Or maybe it's for another different reason. But there's something different that happens to us and in us when we get together with other followers of Jesus to worship God. And you know what? That happens even when you don't know the language. Since I've been here, I've gone to a couple of services at the Mount Sinai Church. And I've gone to a service, at least one, maybe two services, to the Eritrean church that meets here Sunday afternoon. And I don't speak Eritrean in any way. I don't speak Spanish other than hola. That's truly the extent of my Spanish. But I've come and I've sat in those pews in those places where you guys are sitting. And I've worshiped with my brothers and my sisters to God, even though I didn't understand a word. There's something different that happens. And I believe it encourages our heart and our soul, and it enriches us in amazing, amazing ways. It's different than us just praising God on our own. And it's really one of the reasons why I believe that God has called us as a church to worship, because of what God does in us. To use a phrase that I've used before with some people, praising God together with people helps till the soil of our heart for God to work. So that's one reason. That's one reason I believe why God has called us to be together as a church. Another reason is this: to be in community. You know, it's fascinating. This week I'd sent the visionary board, which is the actual leadership team of this church. I asked them this question in an email. I said, so what do you think about when you think about church? And each and every one of them, in some form or another, mentioned for them being in community is when they think about being in church. And my sense is this. My sense is that they are not alone in this sentiment. My sense is that if I was to do a poll here right now, And I was asking, so what is one or two words that you think about when you think about church? In some form or another, many, if not most of you, would say being part of a community, being part of a body. And that is so amazing, because it truly is one of the reasons why we're called together, is so that we can be part of this community that God has created, that God has developed. Well, being in this community that God has called us to be, it gets expressed in many different ways. And I want to talk about three of them today, although please understand that these are not just the only three, and I could have added a whole bunch of other ones, but I want us to think about these three things these three expressions about being in community. The first one is this, that we come, we are part of a community in the sharing of our gifts and our abilities. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says to us, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. And then Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8 says this. He says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving each other, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage each other, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, then take responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. See what's being painted here? The picture that God is painting to us, I think, is pretty clear. That God has given you some certain gifts and certain abilities to be shared with others. And I would dare say this, that the church is poor if people don't share out their gifts and their abilities to each other. That they don't share it within the community that God has given to us. Because that is a way that you encourage each other. It is a way that you build each other up. And I personally don't believe that the church can function as properly and as the way that God has intended it to if we don't exercise the gifts and the abilities that God has given to us within this church family. Not only are we poor, we're not as complete. Because the stuff, these gifts and these abilities that God has given to you are meant to be shared. They're not meant to be used. So that's one way of expressing ourselves about being in a community, in a church body. And another expression that we have about why we gather as a church, about being in community, is this, is that we gather to hear the teaching and the preaching of God's word. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, the Apostle Paul says, that Christ has given certain gifts to the church, that a prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But notice verse 12, what he says in verse 12. He says to us that their responsibility, in other words, that of the teacher, of the preacher, the pastor, the evangelist, and the prophet, their responsibility is to do what? To equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So think about that for just a moment. The reason why people come up here and share the messages that God has given them, that God has given them to share with you on a Sunday morning, or what you're being taught at the Hearing God seminar Sunday evening, or the different things that you're being taught in your different small groups or the Bible studies that you're part of, the reason is to build you up and to equip you to do God's work. You're to take it in, and then you're to give it out. Input in, input out. That is the reason why we come up, the Bible teachers come up, and myself and others come up, and we share it with you. And folks, this stuff that we share is to be transformational in your life. Even if you've heard it before. I remember chatting with somebody actually just yesterday about this. As somebody who's kind of been in this business for a while, to say the least, I've heard it all. I've heard messages on everything that you can think about. Nothing is new under the sun to me. But God still desires that change and effect, that God still desires that to change and have an effect on me, even though I've heard it before. Because there's a reason why at that moment and at that day that God wants me to hear that message or that thought again. Because you see, folks, This is the Word of God being made alive and powerful in our life. It truly is. Because that's what God says His Word is. And the people who give and who share these messages with us from God's Word, that's what they're doing. And God will take it and shape it in your life. And by the way, just a quick aside here. One of the things I love about Richmond Park is how we combine these first two points together. Some of you have asked me, and it's come up to me, so Brian, why don't you speak every Sunday? Well, the truth is, the matter is that we've got people who are gifted in speaking and bringing forth God's word and God's truth, so we want them to exercise those gifts on a Sunday morning as much as we want people who are gifted in teaching children Sunday school to exercise their gifts in Sunday school. And I love how this church does that. How I'm not the only speaker. I may be speaking 50 to 60% of the time, but I love the fact that we have other people sharing their ability. What's what makes the church great and whole. So one of the reasons why God calls us to gather as a church and as a body is to hear the teaching and the preaching of God's word. But then, to also have it affect us and change us and mold us. So that's a reason. The last reason that I want us to look at this morning about another expression of this community of faith that we live in, that we're part of, about who we are, is prayer. Is prayer. The Apostle Paul, when you read his letters, repeatedly told the people that he was writing to that he was praying for them. And look what he says. Ephesians 6:18. Pray the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. And what about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17? Verse 17. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. Folks, there is much. There's so much that can be said about prayer, but we just don't have the time to get into. But I want us to share with you two things that I think we need to understand fully, and that is this. Prayer is powerful, and God answers prayer. This past week, it's been interesting with our whole club to go. We had 2 weeks of it now, and I could tell the difference between the 1 week and the other week. Because 1 week, we who gathered on Tuesday mornings, we didn't pray for Club to Go, and that affected Club to Go. Last week, we did, and I could feel the difference. God, in just a few hours, answered a prayer there. I prayed for people and prayed with people both through many different things, and I've seen how God answers prayer. I've seen how powerful it can be, and it is. I know. And I felt it at times when people have said, I've been praying for you. I pray for you this day and this moment. And I could feel that. We don't pray in vain. God answers prayer. And it is a powerful thing that God has given to us. And we need to fully understand this. That prayer really is the bedrock of a healthy church. Any great movement of God starts with prayer. Any great sustaining movement of God has prayer as its undergirding. This truly needs to be our bedrock. It's why, to be honest, why I spend so much time talking about it. It's why we have Operation Prayer going in the adult Sunday school. It's why we invite you guys to come out on Tuesdays to pray. And that's why we have at the end of our service time to pray for one another. It truly is the bedrock of a healthy church. And as much as anything, folks, I want this to be a healthy church. So we will continue and always talk about prayer until it gets to be so much a part of us. It's such a natural thing. Hearing God is all about prayer. It's such an important part. It's such an integral part about being a healthy church. So this is one of the reasons why we gather, is for prayer. Well, I will end this morning. I love my church. I hope that's been obvious to you as your pastor, as the lead pastor of this church that I've been for the last 17 months or so. I hope that you guys know that I love Richmond Park Church. And I love it because of the things that we've mentioned here today. I love the worship and being part of a community that comes and worships God and how it changes and how it affects me. I love the fact that we come and we share our gifts and our abilities with one another. And I love how we come and we talk about God's word, how it changes me and how the speakers come up and they affect me. I love that. I love the fact that we pray for one another. All these things add a tremendous value into my faith journey that would never, ever be there. And it cannot be replicated anyplace else other than within the church. That's part of the reason why I love the church. But there's another greater, deeper reason why I love the church. It's because of what we read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Folks, the reason why I love the church is because Jesus loves the church. If we say that we are followers of Jesus and that we want to do and replicate with what he's done, that says to us that we love the church too. We love the church, no matter of its flaws and of its imperfections, and there are, and we are a church of flaws, and we have imperfections. But we love the church anyway, because that's how Jesus loves the church. Because Jesus loves me, and he loves you. And I don't know about you, but I'm a man who's flawed, and I'm a man who has imperfections. I'm part of the church. Jesus loves the church despite its flaws and its imperfections. May we love the church too. And that really is kind of my prayer for us, is that we would love this entity that Jesus has promised to us that will never, ever be taken away. That we would love it in word and deed, because love often is an action. That we would love it with prayer. That we would pray for and with one another. May we love the church, because Jesus loves the church. May we hear what God is saying to us today. Shall we pray? So, Father, thank you. Thank you that you've created the church. Thank you, Father, the fact that we don't have to do faith in isolation from others, that I don't have to fumble and bumble my way by myself, but that you're here and you give me other followers of Jesus, my brothers and my sisters, to be able to share this with. God, help me, help us to love the church as Jesus loves the church. Help us to show grace and mercy when the flaws come out, when the imperfections happen. Because, God, you love me like that, and you love us like that. Holy Spirit, help us to love one another, to love the church, the way that Jesus loves it. This is my prayer. This is my heart. Amen.
Why don't you stand with us?